Good, and once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Happy rainy afternoon, and welcome. Welcome now to a brand new year here in our church calendar. Do you know that? With the beginning of Advent, we begin a brand new year, and this year, we're going to hear from the Gospel of Matthew almost exclusively every Sunday. And just the briefest of introductions to the Gospel of Matthew for you, just FYI. Did you know that every gospel looks at our Lord Jesus Christ from a unique point of view? For example, the Gospel of Mark emphasizes Jesus' humanity more than any other gospel, whereas the Gospel of John emphasizes Jesus' divinity. The Gospel of Luke talks about Jesus as the hope of all the nations of the earth, and the Gospel of Matthew talks of Jesus as the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament. All the prophets, all the prophecies fulfilled in the person of Christ. Coming your way in a brand new year that begins today with the season of Advent. Advent, the forgotten season. Poor little Advent. Most everybody ignores it. You know, people don't ignore other seasons. Nobody ignores Lent. Nobody ignores Easter. Nobody forgets about Christmas. But most people skip Advent. And they skip right over to Christmas. And I want to tell you, it's a tragedy. It was never meant to be. Did you know that the psychology department of the University of Texas did a study on the leading causes of stress in people's lives? Christmas was the sixth leading cause of stress in people's lives. Jolly old Saint Nick, right behind death of a loved one, job loss, and divorce. Never meant to be that way. That's what happens when you skip Advent, ladies and gentlemen. We need this season because Advent is the time in which we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. Now, that's a phrase that needs explaining. Okay, Advent is three things. You can think of Advent as having three facets, three features. Here's the first. In Advent, we recall all the ages in which they expected the coming of the Messiah until at last, in the fullness of time, the whole world being at peace, Jesus Christ was born in the flesh, the promised one of all the prophets. That's the first thing we remember in Advent. Here's the second. In Advent, we remember that that same Jesus Christ is going to come back when all the ages have run their course. And when he comes back, he's not going to come again as a cute little baby. He's going to come riding on the clouds of heaven, the just judge of all the nations. Have you ever lived your life looking around the world and thinking to yourself, there's so much injustice, who's going to balance the books? Good news for you, ladies and gentlemen. God's justice is perfect. I promise you won't be disappointed. It's the second thing we anticipate in the season of Advent. But the third, probably the most important, is we recognize that Jesus wants to come into your heart. Now, I know he's already come into your heart to some degree, or you wouldn't even be here, right? But he hasn't come anything like near as much as he wants to. Now, all those times when Christ comes, those are times we should be joyfully preparing. You know what it means to joyfully prepare for something? I'll give you an example. When you go on vacation, don't you joyfully prepare for what's about to come? You get yourself a nice big block of time off and you start to think about where you're going to go, what you're going to do, where you're going to stay. What? And it's preparation, but it's joyful preparation. You look forward to it. Or maybe, I don't know, family's expecting a newborn baby. And there's a lot of work to be done. But what's coming is joyful. You anticipate it. You're preparing for it. The coming of Christ is meant to be joyful anticipation. However, it almost never works out that way when Jesus wants to come. For some reason, whenever Jesus comes into the world, people are unprepared. It was like that the first time that he came into the world. You know the story. Wants to be born in Bethlehem. No place to stay, no room at the inn. He has to be born in a stable, nobody was paying attention. The pivotal moment of all of human history up until that point, and most people slept through it. They weren't prepared. He's going to come again at the end of all time. And the scriptures are really clear. People aren't going to be ready. Try to imagine what that might be like. Imagine this. Jesus Christ comes again to judge all the nations of the earth. And he's coming this afternoon at 3:15. How many people do you think will be ready? That's why the scriptures say, you know, the people are going to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us and spare us from the wrath. That's why Jesus said what he said here in the gospel. When the Son of Man comes again, I'm telling you, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. Remember the days of Noah? And he said that there was going to be a flood coming upon the earth, and nobody listened until the flood came. But here's the thing. When he comes again in our lives, when he wants to come, most of us aren't ready. Most of us aren't ready, and it's a disaster. So what do we need to do? Well, I think the first reading put it really well. It said, when the mountain of the Lord's house is established as the highest mountain, that's when all the swords are going to be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. What does that mean? It's another way of saying that when you finally really put God first, that's when at last peace breaks out in your life. You know, the mountain of the Lord's house, Isaiah says, highest mountain of all. Think about this. Everybody has some point in their life, the highest and most important thing of all, the highest mountain, so to speak. By definition, whatever's most important in your life is what you worship. You know, you get these people, they say, oh, I don't worship anything. Baloney, you don't. Worship is nothing but the amalgamation of two English words, worth and chip. Put them together, and the word means whatever you hold is the most worth, that is what you worship. Everybody worships something. Everybody's got a highest mountain. For a lot of people, that highest mountain is almighty dollar, always chasing around the next buck. It's what's most important in their life. It's quite literally what they worship. These days, one thing you find, people care so immensely about fitting in with the crowd, making sure that their opinion is the same as everybody else's opinion, and they don't dare disagree with the dictates of the great mob out there. It's what they worship, public opinion. Some people, they just want things to be as easy as possible, take the path of least resistance. Every time you have a false worship, you're divided against yourself. Every time something other than the worship of God is highest in your life, there's no peace. But when he's the highest, swords are beaten into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, peace breaks out. And this is what we want to do. It's the way we begin the brand new year, reminding us of this. But the scriptures try to tell us that we're not ready, tries to tell us that we are asleep. Jesus says it in the gospel, Paul says it in the second reading, we're asleep. I saw an interesting study not too long ago about how often Americans hit their snooze button. It was really interesting. Would you believe that the average American, we're talking about the snooze bar on the alarm, the snooze button, however it is, you have it, the alarm at the bedside, and you hit snooze. The average American hits the snooze bar 3 times a day. Snooze, snooze, and even more snooze. But would you believe that as people get older, they hit the snooze bar less and less? And the least snoozy group that was surveyed, people aged 55 to 70, they almost never hit the snooze bar. I kind of began to wonder whether, as you get older, you don't begin to appreciate more and more how precious is each day. How precious is each hour. I knew a man once, he confided in me that when he was younger, his fiancée died of aggressive cancer before they could get married. Terrible tragedy. You know, they had all the wedding plans and everything was all set to go. And some kind of terrible aggressive cancer took her life before they could get married. And he said, of course, I had two terrible griefs. First, obviously, is that she was gone. But the second grief I had all the times I took her for granted. The wasted days, the wasted hours, and of those two griefs, the second grief hurts me worse because it was entirely my fault. Now, there's no grief in heaven, but if there were, they would grieve for lost opportunity in which they could have loved God and loved one another even more, but they didn't. There's no envy in heaven either. But if there were, do you know who they would envy? They'd envy you and me, believe it or not. Because in heaven, all you can do is praise and thank God forever and ever and ever. But here, while we live, we have an opportunity to love Him and to serve Him. Don't snooze. You really lose. I think there's two ways in which we snooze. Spiritually speaking, there's two ways in which we snooze through the presence of Christ. Number one is the Eucharist. When you see from the perspective of the other side of death what God gave you in the Eucharist, I think we're all going to regret not loving even more His real presence among us. I tell you, most people, they just take it for granted. Don't let it happen to you. The second, we fail to reverence Christ's presence in our neighbor, especially the people we don't like. Especially the people we don't like. St. Catherine of Siena, she once said that Jesus confided in her, "Everything you want to do for me, do that now for your neighbor. That's why I've placed them in your life." So here we are in the season of Advent, and this is the way the church begins its brand new year. You are closer right now to the hour of your judgment than you were last Advent. All of us are closer to the second coming of Christ than we were last Advent. This hour has been given to you to choose which side you are on. We take it or we leave it. But the call for us is urgent. It's only 4 short little weeks here in Advent, not a single day to lose. So let's welcome Him into our hearts, that He might set our hearts at peace.